If you have your Bibles, please turn to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. I've really enjoyed Exodus. This is a challenge to take on, something different for me. Now, this isn't as stretching as I thought. Timothy was tough. I don't know if you've ever tried to preach through Timothy, but that's some deep stuff. The Apostle Paul, boy, that guy is sharp, right? But then again, even Peter said that some things that Paul taught were hard to learn, so I'm in good company here. So then I did this, and now Exodus. So I've really enjoyed this as well. Exodus chapter 4, we know, remember Moses is in the wilderness, and God speaks to him through a supernatural burning bush, a bush that burns but does not burn out. And God tells Moses the good news. He will deliver his people who are impressed and who are oppressed in Egypt. And so Moses is exciting. This is good news. But the difficult news for Moses is that he'll be the one to lead. And Moses isn't so sure about this. Moses wonders if he can really be the leader that he needs to be. We talked about the first couple of objections that Moses had. Moses says, I don't have the ability. It's not me. I don't have that kind of talent. And God tells him that he'll be with him. And so God will make it work. The second thing is he says, who should I say sent me? And so he says, I am. Or we get our word Yahweh, self-existent one. I am the I am. And then we talked about how God wanted to build Moses as a leader. And we talked about importance of leaders. You always need more leaders. You can never have enough. And to quote my dear friend, he always says, leaders are leaders because they care. That's the difference between a leader and a follower. A leader cares the most, and they're the most concerned. But I get far afield here. He needs to share. So God directs Moses to share the vision with his people. Moses is going to communicate the mission. And his third objection is, he says, no one's going to believe me. And we saw how God used the things around him supernaturally. And just like God uses everyday things in our lives as we use them for him in supernatural ways. So remember, he had a couple of neat miracles he could do. Well, he had three miracles, right? The staff, remember his hand with leprosy, and then the cup, he could pour out the blood. And we talked about the importance of the Nile. So today we get to objection number four. Objection number four is, and I'll just, spoiler alert here before we read the passage. Moses says, I'm not good at public speaking. I'm not. Now, he doesn't say he can't speak. Sometimes people will say that, but he eloquence is his problem. I don't know. You know, I talk, people are going to look confused, or maybe they won't follow me, or maybe I'll just embarrass myself up here. I know this is hard for some of you guys. How many of you would say public speaking is something that you struggle with as well? Would you just raise your hand? If it's something you don't really enjoy doing, you struggle with it, okay, very good. Now, some of you are afraid to raise your hand because that's you're a very shy person, of course. So that's to be anticipated. All right, well, then you're in good company. You're with Moses here. And so you're not alone. There's more. Now, I don't really join you. I don't really have fear or shame, even when I should have it. I'm working on that. But I don't get embarrassed very often, okay? But anyway, we all have our fears, right? I have different fears maybe than someone else, but there's things that definitely make me fearful that maybe aren't a problem for you. So I think on some level we all have to have God help us in our struggle, right? Whatever that fear is, he can help us overcome it. All right, so Exodus chapter 4, let's start reading in verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, for I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. That's a polite way of him saying, why don't you pick someone else to send? I know it's a long sentence. It's a long sentence in the original language, so the authors here have preserved the sentence format, but it is as bad as it sounds. It's him traveling hither and yon when he talks. And essentially he's saying, I don't think I'm the right choice here. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, the first time this is mentioned. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put the words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with thy mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. and he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be in him instead of God. So God would speak to Moses, Moses would speak to Aaron, and then Aaron could do the talking here. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. All right, let's pray, and then we'll dive into this text. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, too many times we're like Moses, Lord, and we need your strengthening and help. We pray that you'd strengthen this bunch. And Lord, encourage us, lift us up, help us really to take our encouragement from your word and you, and strengthen us, Lord, when we're weak. And Lord, I pray that you do mighty things in this church. In your name I pray. Amen. So Moses' trouble is, I'm not good at public speaking, he thinks. And I want to see tonight four truths about overcoming the fear of public speaking. Four truths for overcoming the fear of public speaking. Now, this is a very common fear. And I've met pastors that were just terrified. I was in a church once that was, it was well over 1,000 people in the church. And the funniest thing was the pastor was super shy. And he'd get in the pulpit and he was fine. And then when it was all over, he looked like he wanted to melt. And he wanted to disappear. So, you know, the Lord uses all kinds of people. There's a lot of people that you would never suspect that has this difficulty. And yet the Lord uses them. The Lord can work in mighty ways. Verse 10, and Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken of thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. I want you to notice the first truth about overcoming our fears. For many, the greatest fear of being a leader is public speaking. For many, this is the fear. Many people would be leaders if it wasn't for the talking part. They could be great leaders. But, you know, if you can't communicate, you don't have much of a platform, right? And if you're afraid to if you can't overcome your fear and stand in front of people, there's a lot of people that will never hear your message. And so communication is how you spread vision. This is how you share things and encourage others. And, you know, that's often the difference between the person that people see and can be influenced by and someone that's not influential is the one knows how to present themselves and can talk. And that could be the difference. Fear of public speaking, they say, is the most common fear in our country. And they say the fear of public speaking is higher than even death. Most people would rather die than give a speech. Yeah, that's crazy, right? Although if you die, I guess you don't have to give the speech, so maybe that makes sense. Other fears up there, so they say speaking's one, death is two. Spiders, anyone here afraid of spiders? Okay. They're so much smaller than you. I don't know what the... Whoa, okay, we got a bunch of hands over here. That's my designated job in the house is I am the spider killer. Take a lot of pride in my work. It's okay. As long as they're afraid, I have a job here. And then the last fear on our top of our list is heights. People are afraid of heights. That one makes more sense. All right, so the National Institute of Mental Health put out a report on public health, and they say glossophobia, or the fear of speaking, is a common fear by 73% of our population. So 73% of the people in this room have a great fear of speaking. Now, the fact is that as much as Moses was afraid from reading the Pentateuchs, Moses actually was a great speaker, and he made some great speeches, okay? So is this true that we can fear things, but then also it doesn't mean that we're limited by them? Of course, right? Now, maybe he didn't feel like he was a good speaker. Maybe the process made him anxious. I don't know. And the way he describes himself is very unflattering. You know, he talks about, I can hardly form words. I'm slow of speech. And he really puts himself down. Now, this is a device often implored in Scripture. And I found a whole list of examples of people that go to great lengths to put themselves down in Scripture. So this is a common poetic device, shall we say. I'll give you some other examples. I picked six of my favorite, but if you look in the Scriptures, this is all throughout the Scripture. When someone's trying to get out of something, they'll put themselves down to the lowest place possible. Okay, here we go. This is Abraham, Genesis 18:26. And Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. So Abraham is dust and ashes, apparently. And Saul answered and said, "Am I a Benjamite, the smallest of the tribes of Israel?" This is Saul saying he can't be king. "Am I family the least of all the families of the tribes of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou to me?" Now his family was important, so it's kind of crazy that he would say that. 1 Samuel 18:23. This is David when he's supposed to marry Michal. And David said, "Seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing I am a poor man and lightly esteemed?" Lightly esteemed. You just whipped Goliath, so you're not that lightly esteemed, David. Let me see. Isaiah 6:5. "Woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips and dwell amongst a people of unclean lips." I think about Paul, 1 Timothy 1:15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So this idea of just putting yourself down to such a low place, this is a rhetorical device, okay? So when Moses says, "I can't even form words," he's exaggerating, okay? The fact is that the word eloquence is used a bunch of times in this passage. So his real fear is, "I just won't do a good job," okay? So Moses is reluctant to be a leader because of his fear of public speaking, staying in front of people. And we can look down on Moses for this. Come on, Moses, you should be able to do this. But you think about what he'll be doing. He'll be speaking to the Israelites, which are millions of people, and that's a big task. He'll be speaking to Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, in Pharaoh's courts. And so as much as we wish, like, come on, get it together, I think we'd all feel the same way if we were in his spot. I think that's pretty fair to say. So we looked at truths to overcoming fear. Number one, public speaking can be a fearful thing. And then the second truth is found in verses 10 through 12. "And Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hereto nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. The Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." Truth number two. God designed you, and he knows what you can do. God is your creator. God specifically knew what you needed to do, and he gave you all the equipment and all the hardware to do that. So when God asked you to do something, he gave you that talent. Or maybe he gave you the resources around you to make that happen. And so God asked Moses this. "You can't do this, Moses? You really can't? Like, who made you, Moses? You're telling me what you can and can't do?" That's kind of a funny thing to do, because I give people the ability to talk or not talk. I give them the ability to see or not see. All these talents that they have, I give to them. I think about Psalm 139, and the psalmist is pouring his heart out to God. And he says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that thou, my soul, knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfected. And in my book all my members were written, which in continuity was finished, when all yet there was none of them." All his parts are written in a book. You know what this sounds like to me? This sounds like DNA, right? Lots of books throughout the cells of your body that have your genetic code imprinted. And I think the psalmist is talking about DNA there. How about that for a hot take on Wednesday night? But yeah, God knew all about you, and he put you together. You're created in a special way. And you are unique, and you have special gifts and talents from the Lord. You know, this reminds me also, remember Job was questioning God. He said, you know, Job can't understand why this, and why does that have to happen? And he doesn't get it. And God stops Job, and God says to him, "Job, were you there when I created the universe? Do you have this, how this all works? Do you have this all figured out?" And he asked Job a number of questions. And Job shakes his head. "I don't know. I don't know what's happening. I can't figure this out." And God said, "Well, you just have to trust me on this one, because I made everything. I know how it works." You know, it's really wrong for us to second guess God. And, you know, God enables us to do what we need to do. And we need to trust him by faith. When God gives us a task that's scary or an assignment that we're not comfortable with, we need to realize that he will enable us to do what we need to do. And we can't be controlled by fear. We can't be controlled by worry. And, you know, the Lord knows what we're capable of. He knows what we can handle. And he will give us the help and the resources we need to be successful. So we need to trust God. We can't second guess God. We don't know enough to second guess him. Our second guessing would not be very, very adequate. We need to trust God even in fearful times. All right, so we talked about, number one, we talked about it's scary to step out by faith and speak in front of people. Secondly, we learned the truth about that God designed us. He knows what we're capable of. But facing our fears, we look at truth number three, and that's found in verse 13. And it says, "And he said," this is Moses, "O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send." So Moses doesn't want to stand in front of people and talk. And so Moses says, maybe you can find someone that's a little more qualified. Maybe you can find the right, this sounds spiritual, right? Oh, Lord, send someone else to share the gospel with my neighbor, right? Maybe there's someone that's just a little more qualified than I am. Well, if you're looking for someone more qualified than you, there's always someone more qualified. And there's probably someone more qualified than that person. And so at the end of the day, there's probably one person that could do everything. They're the most qualified. But the fact is, there's only one of them. But there's many of us, right? And we have connections that they don't have, and perhaps even abilities they don't have. And so the Lord wants to use us. He doesn't want us to just pass the buck to someone else. I think there's a lot of fabulously wonderful, talented people that are waiting for someone else. And so sometimes the person that accomplishes the job isn't even the most talented. Did you know this? God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. So here's Moses. And up until this point, he's saying, I'm uncomfortable with this, or this over here isn't really my strength, and I need help with this or that. But this is really the first time where he's just kind of saying, no, I'm not going to do this. That's what he's saying here. And this is also the time it mentions that God is angry. Because up until now, Moses has dialogue with God, and he's able to work with him, and the process, they're able to get somewhere. But this seems to be Moses putting down his foot. I'm just not going to do this, right? The problem wasn't the talent. It was his heart was rebellious. And he refused to do what God was telling him to do. And, at the end of the day, it's our job to follow. It's our job to obey God and trust in what he can do. Now, sometimes we can dress this up. Moses says, maybe someone would be better to send. I've heard believers say, brother, that's just not my spiritual gift, which is code for, I'm not going to do that, or I have other abilities. It's like, okay. But, if the Lord's calling you, it doesn't matter if your gift set is perfectly lined up for this task, right? God just wants to use you. Whatever you have, even if it's imperfect, God just wants to use that. What's better, a person that can witness and knows every potential answer someone might ask, or a person that's just available to your neighbor? The Lord can work through available people, even imperfect ones that don't know every possible answer or don't have every solution to every problem. The best ability is dependability. And that's true. God wants to use us. And so Moses needs to obey. We must obey God. And when we don't obey, it's a sin. Sometimes we make excuses. I wanted to do that, but I was real depressed. Or I was anxious, so I had to make this decision or that decision. No, that doesn't make you sin. That may be a pressure that you deal with. I don't deny that it's not real, but what you do with it is your choice. Speaking of this, I knew a pastor many years ago before he was a pastor, but he was still a spiritual leader, and this guy had the worst case of Tourette's I have ever seen. And if you were around this person, he would make barking noises, and he would bang the wall with his elbow just constantly. He'd have sore elbows. So I worked at Camp Joy. He was one of the counselors. And he would make the weirdest noise during the preaching service. It kept everyone awake, so that was good. And the more tired he got, the worse it would get. And it's funny with someone that's that loud who has Tourette's? After the first week, you didn't even notice. That's just who Paul was, right? We just knew who he was. That's how Paul is. We didn't even think twice about it. And we'd forget that it was a big deal in the middle of service that he's barking like a dog, And we'd have campers that are looking back at him, like the first day of camp, like, what's he doing? Why is he acting that way? And we had to explain to them, he's got this disease, and it makes him do a lot of weird things. And the tireder he gets, the louder he's going to be. We'd tell him. And after a couple days, they wouldn't even hear it. They would just blend it out. But I ask him, because I also have people that have Tourette's, and they have uncontrolled swearing. And I ask him about this. I said, Paul, is this true? And he says, oh, it's the craziest thing. He says, if I get really emotional, he's like, I'll just shout anything out. I have no filter. It just comes out. I said, well, then what do? You can't control swearing. He says, of course I can control it. He says, I have to control what I'm thinking. Because anything I think is going to come out of my mouth. So when he got really upset, he would think of like bicycle or something. And he'd scream, bicycle! And we knew that was him getting upset. Yeah. So, and now he's a pastor now. If you met him, he's the most wonderful man. And, you know, he's had ministry to people that I couldn't minister. Well, maybe I could minister to them, but people with other difficulties, they could identify with him. And he's such a loving person. That's why he's a pastor. He does real well at his job. He's very empathetic. If you can get past the first week with him, you're fine after that. Okay? Nicest guy, though. But he's an example to me of someone who has all kinds of limitations, and yet he chooses not to sin with that. God can help us. I mean, we can't always control the limitations of our body, mental health, all those other things. Those things can come upon us. But we can control how do I respond to this adversity? How do I respond to this trial? And so we have to decide. Just because I have physical weakness, it doesn't mean that I have to sin. And so this is Moses, right? He's got this fear. And so he said, well, I just can't do it. I've got this fear. I give up. Okay, and that's really wrong. God can help us to overcome those fears. What does the Bible say in 1 Corinthians 10:13? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God will make a way out. It will always be there. Okay? Your body does not make you sin. You make you sin. Your body may make it hard on you. You may have difficulties you have to deal with and work through. I'm not saying it's easy. And your limitations and my limitations are different, but the Lord can help us. Whatever your limitations, God's supernatural power can enable you to make the right choices. So let's make good choices. Let's not make excuses. So Moses has his limitations, and he says, I can't do it, and he sins. But this is wrong. So just to repeat here, it's easy to use our weakness as an excuse to sin. That's what Moses does. I'm not good at this, and so he gives up, and that's wrong. All right, so dealing with our fear of public speaking or standing for Christ, fourth truth found in verses, I'm going to read verses 14 through 17. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he comes forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. So remember, he's in Midian. He's far away from everything. The Israelites are in Egypt, probably in the Goshen area. God says, you know, surprise, Aaron's going to show up. And so Moses doesn't know this is going to happen, but okay. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take thy rod in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Truth number four, God gives us grace to overcome our fears. God gives us grace. God gives us supernatural enabling. God gave Moses far more than he needed. Now, God told Moses up front, you have plenty of talent. Talent is not the problem. But Moses is like, man, I don't know. I'm kind of fearful. And even Stephen mentions in Acts 7:22, he refers to Moses as being an eloquent speaker. So it's recognized he had lots of talent. And, you know, as much as Moses is making excuses that are not valid, God still works with him for where he's at. And God recognizes this is where Moses is at spiritually. This is what Moses is struggling with. And God says, you know, I'm going to help you because I recognize the difficulty and limitations. God doesn't tell him, come on, you can do this. What's the big deal? God is with him, incrementally helping him grow. And Moses will grow, okay? And God gives him this crutch to help him. And he'll give him Aaron. And initially, Aaron does talk. I think Moses is fearful. But you notice, after the first few chapters, you stop hearing about Aaron. And it's just Moses, right? He quickly overcomes his fear. And Moses will grow. And he'll realize, you know, I don't really need Aaron anymore. But even though he doesn't need Aaron, God is still there to help him. And God allows that older brother to be there and support him. The second way God supports him, the staff. Remember he says, you'll take your staff with you? Now, this long article on staffs in the Bible is very interesting. Didn't really apply this message, but if you ever have time to research it, it's interesting. But the staff in the Old Testament was like your wallet, I guess. They would carve it up and it would have your name on it, and it would be your way of identifying yourself, and you would take it with you different places, and that was like, that would have been Moses' staff. It'd be like a special staff, right? And so Moses has this special staff. Remember we talked about it became a snake? Just imagine that you are insecure about public speaking. And what's the best thing to do if you're insecure about public speaking? What can you add? Well, you would add a visual aid, of course. And so just imagine, if Moses feels nervous, he can always throw the staff down and there's a snake waiting. Okay? That's the best visual aid you can come up with. And that's going to validate whatever he says, right? And so the Lord gives him the staff as a kind of a help for him as he's insecure. So God in his grace gives him Aaron to kind of help him as he builds his confidence, and then the special staff. You know, in many ways, it was interesting to see how Moses' life, and we don't think of it this way, but Moses and Jonah's life really parallel themselves in many ways. I thought that was really interesting. They both had a special calling from God, and as they're called from God, they both reject it immediately and want to do the opposite. Both of them get threatened by God. Later on, Moses will get threatened by God that he better fly straight. They both are threatened. They both have to learn lessons, and in the end, God will use them both. Now, we don't read much more of Jonah after. I mean, the book of Jonah is a pretty short window of time, but we have 120 years with Moses, so we have a lot better picture of where he ends up. But I think it's interesting how God stuck with Jonah and helped him, and we're like, yeah, Jonah's a bad guy. But then God does the same for Moses, and we're like, yeah, Moses is a good guy. But in effect, though, they both needed God's grace and help along the way, just like we do. And, you know, God encourages us and gives us help beyond what we need. I think God recognizes the weakness of our frame, that we are dust. And we need all the support and help we can get. And the Lord knows that we can be controlled by fear if we're not careful. Someone has made this statement. He said, cherish the lowest thought you choose of yourself, but unite it with the loftiest concept of God's all-sufficiency. I'll read that again. That's deep. Cherish the lowest thought you choose of yourself, but unite it with the loftiest concept of God's all-sufficiency. It's okay to be humble. It's okay to see yourself for what you are. But we need to also have confidence in realizing that we serve a great God who can enable us. And God can help us to overcome our fears. Now, specifically, we talked about the fear of public speaking, but there can be other fears. That maybe you're afraid of what someone thinks about you, or if you witness, oh, what's that person going to say? We can have lots of fears, right? Or maybe you don't think you're skilled at a job and there's something that has to be done. You know, the Lord can strengthen us and bolster us in times of fearfulness. My question is, what are we holding back from God because we're fearful? What is fear keeping you from doing that the Lord wants you to do? And do you recognize God's power? Are you willing to step out by faith and face that difficult thing? Are you willing to recognize that God is sovereign and all-powerful, and he can help you with whatever that is and enable you? I hope that fear isn't controlling you. I hope that you're full of trust, because when we trust God, you know, God does great things. But just like in Moses' situation, we have to step out by faith, right? If Moses hadn't stepped out, he would never have been able to have as many great speeches, and he wrote the Pentateuchs. He led God's people. A lot of amazing things God did for him, but he had to step out. And I hope that we're not too fearful to step out when God calls us and leads us in times of uncertainty or things that we're not good at. All right, let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, thank you for this scripture, and even Moses, someone that we highly revere. We realize that he's just